Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Thursday. It is I, Mario Terabassi, running the show today. Greg is off. I believe he's headed towards Iowa. And Jay is still recovering from his multiple facial or oral surgeries. He said he's in Jared Tenorti facial mode right now. So hopefully he'll be back and ready to go tomorrow. But I am joined today making his CHGO Blackhawks debut, Kevin Kadick. Thank you for hopping in and making sure that this kind of babysitting me here.
15 months before I get an invitation. 15 months.
You know, the invitation is open when you're the head of content.
It's been busy. I will say, you know, I didn't have a lot of, you know, interest in talking about the Blackhawks so much the last year.
I don't blame you.
I'm getting back in, just like everyone else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got Greg Braggs producing today, another Braggs production. He was talking about how this is his time, this is his year to finally get on the Blackhawks train. Yep. And this is a good time to do it for sure. You know, if you've been paying attention, it's draft season, so there's a lot of hype around the draft. Definitely check out allchgo.com as we have started to put out our draft profiles. Just today, we've sent out our draft profiles on Gabe Perreault, who is the son of Yannick Perreault, former Blackhawk and current development coach of the Blackhawks. And then just about an hour ago, we put out the profile of Michigan's Gavin Brindley, so check those out at allchgo.com. Myself, Jay, and Greg are going to be pumping those out as we are now 20 days away from the draft happening in Nashville. Very excited for that. That's we got the CHGO road trip out to Nashville.
Let's
Want
go.
To remind everybody about that as well off the top. We will be there. We will be there to see the Blackhawks have the top overall pick, and the jersey on our set will become a reality likely at 6:03 p.m. On that Wednesday night. First round of the draft, and you can if you're going to be in Nashville, be sure to check us out. We have an official meetup happening Tuesday from 1 to 4 p.m. at Hopsmith in Nashville. We have tickets available to that event as well. Go to allchgo.com for that information. You get a ticket to that event, you can meet up with us in Nashville, get excited for the draft, get excited for all the picks that they have to make. You can, you know, talk with us and hang out 1 to 4 p.m. Included in your ticket is an open bar. Appetizers will be provided from Hopsmith, and then as well you are going to get an exclusive debut shirt that will be launching the next day, right around that same 6:03 time frame. Wonder what that shirt design might be focusing on. But yeah, that's
no idea.
You can get all those details at allchgo.com. Very excited to be out in Nashville. It's going to be a good time. If you're heading out that way, be sure to get a ticket to that event. We'd love to hang out with you guys. Become a member at allchgo.com. Become a diehard. You can do that. Save 20% on that event and all the great merchandise we have. I'm getting all these out of the way right now. We have our Father's Day sale going on as well. I am a dad. You are a dad. Mm-hmm. Greg is a dad. It's a great time to be a dad and get yourself some CHGO merchandise. Starting today, running through Father's Day on June 18th. If you go to allchgo.com, go to the CHGO locker, you will, can get one CHGO t-shirt, and you will get one for 50% off.
Good deal.
For the Father's Day sale. And important note, if you want the shirt to be available for your dad or the dad in your life, be sure to order it by Monday the 12th to guarantee that it will be there on the 18th. But the sale will run through Father's Day. So again, chgolocker.com. Check out all the great designs. I'm wearing one of our designs here, CHGO Blackhawks. The hockey plane hawk. I love it. It's a great design. And check out all the designs.
I dropped my kids off by my dad's before I came down here. He was wearing the Red Script CHGO shirt.
There you go.
But he doesn't have all of them, so I need to.
You got
to
load them up.
Keep seeding him with some more t-shirts. He will never turn down a t-shirt from his kids or his grandkids.
There you go. Yeah, got to make sure that the closet is full of the CHGO merch. All right,
I'm excited for your trip.
I am too.
I'm also a little nervous for you. You guys have so much homework to do. I know that you will, but there is literally, you're lucky that the number one pick is sewn away, right?
Yeah.
You're lucky you're taking that out of the equation, but they've got that pick at 19, and so many different things can happen from there. Mm-hmm. So many players can become available or not available, and then if they trade down, that brings a whole nother. So you guys have to be pretty much ready for like 20 or 25 guys.
Yes. Yeah, it has been, you know, that worrying about the first round or the first pick rather, all the nonsense of, you know, worrying about if they were going to pick third or fourth or fifth, that getting taken off the plate definitely makes the job a little bit easier. But yeah, 9 picks in the first 100 selections of the draft. Like that's a lot. They might not make all of those picks. But
right.
Still, like the amount of talent that they can bring in, the amount of options that they have, that's kind of been the theme of the offseason. Like all the options are on.
How
the
good
table.
Do you feel like on your recall? Like if they, you know, on the Thursday those picks come up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been with the Blackhawks being what they were this past season. Worrying about prospects that's been the focus a little bit more than it has been in previous years, but. Yeah, I think, you know, Jay and Greg and myself, I think we've been keeping an eye on prospects all year. You know, through doing the rebuild reports during the season with me and Greg, you know, we would throw in tidbits about, you know, prospects that the Blackhawks could be keeping an eye on. Again, yeah. Those draft profiles are coming out. We have about 20 of them, and those are just for guys that they could pick, you know, in their 19th overall or late first round, early second round guys. There's just 20 of them. So it's like, the amount of players that they have on the on their draft board, I think, is pretty extensive. I know Kyle Davidson said today, he was speaking to the media at the draft combine, mm-hmm. that they have somewhere between 65 and 75 interviews just this week at the combine. So
how do you even keep that straight?
Eventually some of these guys have to start meshing together. Like, you know, it seems like there are some players that are, you know, if there was a mold of a hockey player, they would fit into that mold, like a generic hockey player. So,
is it like a speed dating thing? Is it like 3 minutes and then they just keep moving?
I would love to know. Like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of the draft combine interviews, because we spoke with Mike Donahue, the director of amateur scouting with the Blackhawks, and you know, just kind of getting the insight to what they ask the players and what they look for and how they, you know, how they kind of off the ice get to know the player, get to know their family, you know, get to know, you know, their backstory. I'd love to be, you know, in a draft combine interview, because it just, you know, we hear the stories about NBA and NFL combine interviews and how weird some of the questions can
right.
get. We asked Mike Donahue about some of the weirdest questions, and one of the weirdest ones he talked about was the yellow school bus test, which is basically you show the player you're interviewing a picture of a yellow school bus, and you say which direction is it going, and it's just a picture, it's, you know, it's not a video or anything, and we went through we went through when we were talking with him, found the picture.
Yeah.
And Jay, Greg, and I did the test, and we were like, I don't know if it's right or not.
Yeah.
But he gave us the clue to getting the answer right. So go back and watch that interview.
So there is a right answer.
There is a right answer.
So is it forward or backward, or is it north, south, east, west?
It's left or right.
Left or right. Okay. So I apparently failed. I was 0-for-6 on all of those. Great.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, going through the interview process, like I can't imagine they're sitting down. Because this, for a lot of these players, it's not the first time that, yeah, you know, you're talking with them or getting to know them. So you're kind of going in already, you know, having an idea of who they are, you know, their story and their skill set. It's more of just kind of getting that interface, you know, getting to know them.
It's got to be so hard because the range of ages, whether it's kid, you know, in the juniors as opposed to an experienced college kid, it's such a wide range and levels of maturity, and someone in college might be is at a different stage in life and might be a different person who is, you know, just 17 or 18 years old.
Yeah.
Like I just with football and basketball, at least all those guys are pretty much kind of in the same. Hockey is much wider. So I have no idea. Yeah. Like when it comes to figuring out the personalities, the maturity levels, the willingness to work, there's so many different things that could, yeah, go wrong with hockey.
Yeah, and I mean, you're talking about players who, you know, are either coming from a Canadian junior program where, you know, maybe they're from Manitoba, but they're living in British Columbia with, yeah, a family that they don't know, and they're, you know, 17, 18 years old, kind of like having to live life away from their friends and family. You know, it's a different perspective. And then you got players in college, they play less games, but it's a more, you know, more focused on practice and development. So, you know, maybe their on ice is different. And then you got players in Europe.
Yeah, throwing the language, you know, barrier and everything like that.
You know, just a different culture, a different language barrier. You got, you know, all over Europe, Sweden, Finland, Russia, you know, you got all these different players that, you know, there's different cultures and stuff. So it's just interesting to kind of decipher what they look for and, you know, how they want to communicate, what they want to get out of those interviews. But, you know, it's definitely a good thing to see that the Blackhawks are doing their due diligence, yeah, interviewing up to 75 kids,
right,
you know, for these 11, 12 picks.
And if you're a general manager, you just have to trust your people, your scouting, mm-hmm, department, the people on the ground. Those are the people that determine whether you're going to succeed or not. Yeah, anyone can draft Connor Bedard, but
right. Those are the picks that are easy. It's getting into the later rounds where, you know, you really want to find those guys that are, you're going to hit on and, mm-hmm, and that can make impacts. I mean, we're going to, you know, we can talk about the 2010s, 2013, 2015 teams, and how much, you know, the depth and role players that they, right, that they had that made big differences. A lot of those guys were found in those later rounds. So, you know, having Taze and Kane, those are great players to have. Those are essential players to have. But you also got to find guys like Nicholas Jalmerson and Brandon Saad and Dave Boland and Dustin Byfuglien, like all those kinds of players that were later round picks. Right. To make those impacts. And I think Kyle Davidson, through his first draft, I think did a really good job of listening to his scouting staff and sticking to a plan, sticking to a blueprint of player that they wanted to get. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do it again. And he's different than the last guy that was here where, you know, I think Kyle Davidson's really more of a collaborative decision maker. Whereas the previous GM, I think, wanted to be the smartest person in the room and would sometimes go over the heads of the people that, you know, he should have been listening to, especially when it came to draft time.
Right.
There's a lot of picks in his resume that didn't pan out. And I think as time has gone on, we've kind of heard some trickling out that, you know, that wasn't the consensus pick in the room when it was made. So it'll be interesting to see what the Blackhawks do there, but
fingers crossed.
But yeah, being in Nashville, that's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see a lot of CHGO fans out there and, you know, just Blackhawks fans that maybe haven't heard of us, see us out there and convert a couple diehards.
You guys are going to be bigger than like whoever the country music star of the day. Like, you guys are going to walk down Broadway there, and it's going to be just, you're going to be mobbed.
Oh, yeah. Of you. Absolutely. That's what I'm expecting. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to be very welcome in the Nashville community with our Blackhawks gear all over the place. Yes, they love us down
there. They can't shut you out of the arena that night.
That's true. That's true. We will have passes to get into the arena. Nothing they can do about that. But yeah, talking about the 2015, 2010, 2013 teams. Today, 10 years ago, the infamous Patrick Kane heartbreaker Sully had its biggest moment. I know he had done it a few different times leading up to 2013, but that this is the 10-year anniversary of the Game 5, 2013 double overtime game-winning goal for Patrick Kane against the LA Kings in a game in which he had a hat trick. That Stanley Cup run has no business being 10 years ago. Like that.
Yeah, we've already kind of touched crazy. Upon it with, I mean, we just did the 10-year anniversary of Brent Seabrook and
yeah.
Game 7 against the Red Wings. And I woke up this morning, actually, and everything's coming up in your Facebook memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to have season tickets throughout the entirety of the Cup run. So it's a lot of handshake lines, a lot of, you know, a lot of just saying, oh, you know, 8 more wins to the Stanley Cup. But I checked Facebook this morning. I saw a picture of the handshake line after that game, and that came up. And then my buddy Johnny Daly, he actually got my second ticket for that game. He's not a hockey fan whatsoever, but he was in town. He's a good college friend. And he came to me with this game. He came to this game with me. He actually went to the Old Town Art Fair earlier in the day, so by the time I met him on Madison, he was really gassed up, so that was fun. And we watched this game from Section 331, Row 5, and I mean, it was awesome. Everything you wanted a game to be. The thing that I was kind of just thinking about this morning is that was really one of the series. I'm sure, like, if I went back 10 years, yeah, there was probably a lot of nerves through games 1 and games 2, but
yeah,
I think that was really one of the series where you kind of felt like you knew what was going to happen. They'd gotten past Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to get past the Kings. And the first 4 games were close, and the Kings were obviously a very good team, and then the next year they beat them in 2014
yeah.
in a classic – a series that was more classic than this one, even though the results sucked.
Yeah.
But I can't remember ever really being all that nervous. And even during that game,
mm-hmm.
even though the Kings tied it up with like 14 seconds to go,
yeah.
I'll tell you this, I was up there and I'm like, all right, I was with my phone. I'm like, I'm going to video the final seconds of this, because we hadn't been there for a clincher that big yet. And, well, I guess we had it in against the Sharks, but 3 years earlier.
Yeah.
And then the faceoff comes, and I think Mike Richards scores off of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm never doing this ever again.
The bad karma, yeah.
But then, like, even during the overtime, I don't remember being particularly, like, because it was still game 5.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't have felt that way, because there are so many different, you know, you just, if you put a team on the sword, you have to finish it. And the Blackhawks were so good at doing that
mm-hmm.
over that, you know, 5-6 year period. I should have been more nervous, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
And now to think about it, I just probably did take that for granted. But
I mean, that's kind of the effect that those teams had, where, you know, you never felt out of a game, especially that 2013 team where, you know, they set the record of, you know, the longest streak without a loss in regulation to start mm-hmm. a season, you know, President's Trophy winners in the shortened year. You know, that team just felt like you said, like there were so many moments where you just felt like, you know what, this is a team that's on a mission. And you know, that's something that, you know, comes out in the Stanley Cup playoffs. year after year, you see teams start to emerge in the second and third rounds where you're like, this team has got something special. And I think, yeah, to the point of, you know, not really feeling nervous in that series, I remember too, you know, going into that game five and being like, they could clinch, and they probably will because of how that series had gone leading up to it. And, you know, the comeback in the series prior against the Red Wings, it just felt like, you know, that was kind of the stake in the ground of like, this team is definitely got something special going. And I remember watching I was watching the game at the now closed Jack's Tap here in the West Loop, and it was funny. My wife, she was babysitting for a family at the time. And so I drove with her down I drove down in the city. I wasn't living in the city at this time. I drove down in the city. We were hanging out, and then I drove her over to the family's house, which was like maybe two or three blocks from the bar. So it was kind of easy to you know, go from one place to the other. Mm-hmm. So the family, the parents go out for, you know, drinks, dinner, all that stuff. She's babysitting. She puts the kids down, you know, the game's progressing. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to win, you know, late in regulation. And then they go to overtime, and I'm like, I'm going to stay for overtime, you know? And she's like, oh, I think they're heading back home. And it's the intermission between, you know, end of regulation and overtime. And I feel a pat on my shoulder, and they're like, you're Mario, right? And I'm like, yeah. It was the parents that she was babysitting for. And they were like, oh, we told Catherine that we were going to stop here and watch the game with you. And I was like, what? How did you know you were here, that I was here? But I guess she had told him, like, oh, yeah, he's just watching the game. So I ended
up... Did
you
hand them the bill, your drinking bill?
Not the bill up to that point. I had already paid that off because I figured the game was over in regulation.
Yeah.
But then they ended up sitting down and ordering, you know, a pizza and some drinks. And then, yeah, it was, you know, going into double overtime, and then just the elation in the bar when Patrick Kane scored the game winner. It was just one of those memories from those teams that, you know, I feel like are always going to be ingrained in Blackhawks fans' minds. And it's fun to have those moments from those teams, mm-hmm. that you remember on the way to the big moments, where, you know, it's lifting the three cups and all those Stanley Cup final series. Like that's one of those games and one of those moments where, you know, and of course it's Jonathan Toews to Patrick Kane for a series winner. You have the epic celebration. Like, it's just one of those things where, you know, that is a moment that will live for the next 100 years of Blackhawks hockey. Yeah.
I think it's probably the most famous Toews to Kane goal. I don't think there's anything close.
Yeah, where those two were involved in, you know, scoring and assisting to each other. It's got to be the biggest.
The other thing that stands out to me is kind of how similar it was to the goal in Game 6 of 2015, where Brad Richards passed across, mm-hmm. the ice and Kane just sniped it from pretty much
the same
similar
spot.
Area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about that game was the Hawks took a early 2-0 lead. Duncan Keith scored first off on a great shot from the left wing. And then Kane got his first goal 6 minutes in. And Jonathan Quick shut him down for 50 straight minutes after that.
Yeah.
So they did have the 2-0 lead, which probably did contribute to some of the confidence. Kings come back. Dwight King scores. Remember that name?
Yes, I do remember that name.
Kopitar scores a power play goal early in the third to tie it, and you're thinking, uh-oh. But mm-hmm. then 13 That's minutes later,
Kane again.
Kane from Bickle. It was Bickle's second assist of the night. And then you're like, okay, well, here we go. And then
just those final seconds couldn't kill it off. But, yeah, and you mentioned Brian Bickle, like, on the goal. On the ice was Toews, Kane, and Bickle, because he was in the middle of his magical run in the postseason,
yeah.
and he sets up the breakout opportunity, knocking the puck away from Slava Voynov. Love to see that, and that's just like one of those. That's again, it's just like one of those moments where, oh yeah, Brian Bickle had the playoff run of his life, you know, just the and how, you know, how he was involved in some of those moments, you know, scoring some big goals and making some big plays. Like,
it's a great memory, but you're also like, wow, that was the run that got him into a contract that kind of started a lot of problems for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it did. I mean, but at that time, right. I don't think you go back and you think, okay, but it made sense at the time to be like, yeah, you know what, Brian Bickle's should be a big contributor moving forward, and it's just unfortunate the way things went, and then now you know what his body was going through at that time. And why that kind of all started to deteriorate.
I agree with all that, and obviously we have 2020, but hindsight. But, you know, I think there were so many tough decisions that he who shall not be named needed to make. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that sort of run and you have the core that you have, you kind of have to say, well, maybe we shouldn't commit
his downfalls, yeah, was how loyal he wanted to be to those guys. And
you trade Patrick Sharp a year earlier instead of a year or two later.
Right, yeah. And his tendency to pay for past performance. I mean, the Brent Seabrook contract is completely evident of that. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those moments that, you know, I wouldn't trade Brian Bickle having that run.
Right.
Not having that run to you know, make sure that he's, you know, stays affordable or doesn't get traded along with Teuvo Teravainen. He was integral to that team winning that cup. So I would rather him have that run and have that 2013 cup than have to worry about all the fallout beyond.
Remember, his
it.
Name was left off the 2010 cup. That was a big thing. And so then,
yeah, well, I mean, he didn't,
right,
he didn't reach the requirements, unfortunately, but
I remember that was like a big thing. Oh, Bickle's gonna get his name on the cup now.
Yeah,
so
he's two and a quarter cups for him.
The one thing that stands out to me is, you know, Kings and Hawks had two great series against each other, some really good regular season games that, mm-hmm, stand out, staying up late to watch games from the Staples Center, and yet we don't view them as the same sort of rival that we saw the Canucks.
Yeah.
There was, like, a lot more respect between the two teams than there were between the Canucks and Blackhawks.
Yeah, and I think that was – yeah, I mean, I think the respect between the players, I think, was a little bit higher up the chain than it was between the Canucks and the Blackhawks. And, I mean, those series between the Canucks, I mean, that they – there was a lot of bite in those series. I mean, you had – Henrik and Daniel Sedin, they were, you know, the two stars of the Canucks. But then you got a guy like Ryan Kesler, Kevin Bieksa. You had, you know, Roberto Luongo was definitely a fan favorite target of Chicago and trying to get under his skin. And yeah, it was just a really good actual, like, heated rivalry between those teams. And I think, too, probably the Canadian market, the Canadian fan base fueled the fire a little bit more too, because,
yeah,
no disrespect to LA Kings fans, but there's a lot of things to be fans of in LA. So, you know, I don't think the Kings are number one on the list, but in Vancouver, it's definitely the Canucks. So yeah, I mean, I think that plays into it too. You know, the banter and chatter between fan bases, not even just between the teams, like between the fan bases, was pretty heated as well, yeah, at that time. But
I did say that though, and then I was like, wait, didn't Duncan Keith have an incident in that series? And he did a high stick to Jeff Carter's face.
Whaps Jeff Carter right in the
suspended
face.
Suspended one game.
Yeah.
Game four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that was a retaliation for Jeff Carter's, you know, swinging down at Keith's hand when he was trying to pick up his gloves. So
that's right. Yeah.
You know. It's always the retaliation that gets punished, but but even then, you know, that, because that was game three. I think that was game three.
Game four.
That he,
oh,
that
you're
he
suspended for game
that
four.
He slashed him. He missed game four, but then game five in the handshake line, they're smiling and,
yeah,
you know, water under the bridge at that point. So yeah, I feel like if that was, you know, Canucks, there might have been maybe not as many smiles,
right,
in the handshake line if that had happened, but. Yeah, I mean, and I think too, probably because you know, the Kings had won the cup in 2012. Blackhawks eventually win it in 2013. The Kings again go on the run in 2015. Blackhawks again, or in 2014. Blackhawks again 2015. I think you have that respect of, like, you guys climbed the mountain, we've climbed the mountain. Like, you have that that respect. Whereas the Canucks and Blackhawks at that time, those were two teams both trying to get, you know, get to the top of the mountain. Canucks, you know, for the first time, Blackhawks for the first time in, what was it, 48, 49, 50 years at that point. 49
years, yeah.
49 years at that point. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of more of heat behind it. But, yeah, definitely and I think, too, you know, they didn't really play the Kings all that often in the regular season, just, you know, based on the divisions and everything. They didn't play the Canucks all that much, but I think the mutual respect of two teams that, you know, were at that level. And the Kings, if I remember correctly, they didn't have too many, like, goons in the rivalry that played big factors.
Yeah, there wasn't a Bieksa.
There wasn't Bieksa. There wasn't a Rafi Torres. There wasn't, you know, a guy like Ryan Kessler. You know, Kings had a lot of really good players, a lot of really tough players.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever felt like it was,
and but you would sort of think, like, maybe Mike Richards and Jeff Carter would have been pissed off about 2010 and that never,
right,
you know.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, they were
getting
high
sticked in the face, but
yeah, gosh, 10 years ago,
memory lane.
I
will say that I love talking about this stuff, mm-hmm. but I am glad that I really, you know, I think we'll always have these social media posts every June because,
yeah,
look, they do good engagement. We like doing that stuff.
And it's fun. It's fun to always be reminded, like, oh, yeah, this time that year I was, you know, feeling happy.
Right. But I love the fact that now we've reoriented the entire look, because now we're looking towards the Connor Bedard era.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing that we've ever had in Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, we never moved on from the 85 Bears. We've never moved on from the Bulls dynasty.
Right.
We still have it. You know, the Sox and Cubs have not had another era past their World Series. With the Blackhawks, they finally have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was obviously difficult to move on from, you know, the last two pieces of the modern Cup era with Jonathan Toews and Patrick
right.
Kane, but it definitely helps that the time between those two leaving and the next wave coming through is so short.
Yeah.
You know, with the Bears, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have Justin Fields get here. You have, you know, another couple pieces
right.
get put together, but it's been, you know, 40 years or almost 40 years in the making.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you had a couple, you know, false starts with, like, you know, Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall, or, you know, you had the run to the Super Bowl in 2006. But yeah, it's still those teams that actually get the job done are the ones that stick, especially in Chicago.
With this whole situation, it kind of just reminds me of, like, okay, we had a dog. She died in February 2021. We were all super sad. We don't know if we could ever get another dog. Well, my wife was ready to get another dog right away. I'm like, wait, we got another dog in December 2021, you know, and I guess Connor Bedard is our new dog.
Sure, he's a new shiny toy to play with, for sure. And, you know, there's reason to be excited for him. So, and I think you listen to all the draft experts, all the prospect analysts. You listen to the way that, you know, these people talk about him. You know, he's in the Athletic did a, you know, comparable of the last 10 first overall picks mm-hmm. and how he would stack up to him. To them, and he was, and I believe it was Corey Pronman, had him second only to Connor McDavid, ahead of guys like Jack Hughes and Austin Matthews. And
let's
it's
go.
Like, you know, if that's kind of the consensus thought process about, like, his projections, where he's at right now in his draft year and where he could go in his career, if it's like, yeah, he's probably going to be second behind McDavid of this generation, like, mm-hmm. sign me up for that 1,000 days out of 1,000. Like,
I'm in.
It's really exciting. So I'm looking forward to it. I definitely appreciate the, you know, 13-year-old, 10-year-old, and 8-year-old memories that those Stanley Cup teams provided. But yeah, like you said, like, I'm excited for the new era to come through. And it's not just Connor Bedard. You know, you got Lucas Reichel, you got Frank Nazar, you got Kevin Korchinski, all these guys to be excited about.
Korchinski might be my guy. Because I like his initials.
There you go. Yeah,
I also like the way he plays.
It's a good a lot of good reasons to hitch the horse to Korchinski. And you know, Greg and I just yesterday kind of went through, like, you know, who you know each of us see as like the top 10 guys. And we said yesterday, we're just like, you know, in previous years it was hard to think of 10 guys you were excited about as prospects.
Yeah.
You know, let alone, you know, 5 or 6 of them, but. You know, choosing 10 to put on a list for me was hard because I was like, I got 13, 14, 15 guys I'm actually like excited about and could see becoming, you know, NHL players mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And it definitely goes back to how Kyle Davidson drafted last year. A lot of those guys are in that draft class. And to, you know, the former GM's credit, his last two draft class, a lot of those players are actually panning out in their long-term development. His picks, though, I think were handed to a group of you know, front office members and decision makers that will know how to develop them, whereas the last regime didn't really know how to do that. So, yeah, exciting times, definitely. I'm glad the look to the future is and the horizon is not too far away.
Yeah.
Want to talk about our friends, new friends here to the CHGO sports group. That is our friends at Lewis University, proud sponsors of us here at CHGO. At Lewis University, many of their students are adults just like you and me. Many of them have full-time jobs. Many have families. All of them have chosen Lewis University's supportive educational community to help make their transition back to school as easy as possible and earn a respected degree. We got our Lewis University t-shirts here. This is kind of like National Signing Day, choosing Lewis University. I'm going to put mine right over here. I'll just cover up CHGO1 for the read. There's a lot of great reasons to choose Lewis University. They are a comprehensive Catholic university ranked as one of the U.S. News and World Report's top-tier colleges. Very close to the city of Chicago, just 35 miles southwest of the city. And Lewis partners with numerous employers for tuition discounts. And they offer courses in the evenings, online, blended formats to help you balance work, life, family, education, all of those things that are on your plate. Lewis University can help you balance it. Whether you're looking to complete your bachelor's degree, enroll in a professional certificate or graduate degree, Lewis has the right program for you. They offer career-focused programs in business, computer sciences and technology, criminal justice, education, nursing, and many other high-demand fields. Just going to highlight one here. They definitely have a really good data science and computer science program, which offers 8-week sessions that can be completed in 1 year. You have concentrations in software engineering, artificial intelligence, also known to the kids as AI, cybersecurity, digital forensics, enterprise and cloud computing. A lot of those things that I wish I got into in college because
you want to be sitting here.
Seems, yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. but it seems like those are things that, yeah. Are translating to the new technology world of today. God, I sound old. Discover how a degree from Lewis can help you build a better world. You can learn more at LewisU, that's LewisU.edu/you-can-do-this.
Lewis is a great school. I went to Driscoll Catholic, did a visit to Lewis. It's awesome. A lot of my classmates went there. I'm not, at, you know, maybe like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And one of them was a guy named Scott, and he became friends with a young man named Jay Zawoski there.
Hey, yeah. So
shout out to Jay.
Lewis University alum Jay Zawoski.
Shout out to Lewis. Shout out to the ComEd Efficiency Program, which is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
That is absolutely right. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Now, I got to say, I don't, do the show a lot, so I'm not that familiar with the ComEd Efficiency Program. How does it work?
Well, you're in luck because I can tell you all about it. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business, do not wait. Get started saving money and energy, or as we call it, Munergy, today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Did you say comed.com/poweringbiz?
I sure did, Kevin. Schedule your appointment today. Now, yesterday we had rumors and rumblings of some Blackhawks news on two fronts, on the broadcasting front and on the roster front. One of those rumors and rumblings that we talked about yesterday was confirmed today by the Blackhawks, and that is the official addition of former Blackhawks goaltender and fellow Short King Darren Pang joining the broadcast booth. That was made official by the Blackhawks today. And I think it's, we talked about it a lot yesterday. I think it's a great addition for the Blackhawks. You know, they did the platoon of Troy Murray and Patrick Sharp on the broadcast last season with Chris Foster's. It was voted last in the league by fans in the Athletic broadcasting poll, but yeah. I think that'll change from last season to this season because of the addition of Darren Pang, and Darren Pang definitely seems excited to come back to Chicago, where his playing career happened, where his broadcasting career began. I know he's spent the last, I think it's 14 seasons with the Blues.
Man,
on the broadcast.
That is a lot of time in purgatory to earn a chance back. To come back to Chicago, but he earned it.
He's earned it for sure. This is what he had to say today in the Blackhawks official press release announcing the news from Darren Pang. He says, "It's an honor to return to Chicago and join the broadcast booth at such an exciting time for the franchise. Coming back to where my NHL playing and broadcasting career started means a lot to me and my family, and I'm thankful to the Blackhawks for this opportunity. Chris Vosters is one of the best young broadcasters in the game. I look forward to working with him and telling the story of the Blackhawks hockey to the great fans of this organization." And I think that's one of the things that is going to be really important for the broadcast booth is Darren Pang and Chris Vosters getting their chemistry down, because when Vosters got the job, He went through the audition process, obviously, 2 seasons ago, and it was expected he was going to be with Eddie Olczyk, a guy who's, played the game a long time, been around the game a long time, been a broadcaster for a long time, was established, had roots in Chicago, and then that was uprooted. And then the Blackhawks had to, make shift a broadcast team last year. And now they go into this season, a guy like Darren Pang, who still does national games with TNT. He's kind of in doing that, a similar thing that Eddie Olczyk had done with national broadcasts in the past. You bring in a guy like that, a guy who's got personality, who knows the game super well. I think that's going to be a really big benefit to Vosters, and it's just going to make the broadcast a lot more fun.
Yeah, obviously Chris did not walk into the best situation last year. And I think when you're paired with someone like Darren Pang, who just brings so much experience, preparing for the show, I actually went back, and I don't know if you've ever seen this clip on YouTube. You probably have, when Jeremy Roenick scores the overtime goal against Toronto at the old stadium.
Yeah.
And everyone's going nuts, and he comes down the stairs at the old stadium, and Panger is right there to interview him.
Yeah.
Just awesome, right? So, he's someone who knows not only knows the history of the Blackhawks, loves the Blackhawks, but then just has 30 years of broadcasting experience, broadcasting hockey experience. And not that, Troy Murray doesn't, but I think when you're kind of flip-flopping between Troy and Patrick Sharp, and so many things were in flux, I think Chris is just going to benefit from that consistency and continue to grow. And I'm excited to, you know, to listen to it. I actually like Troy on the radio a lot better, so I think that works pretty well.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the things that, you know, as this was confirmed today, you know, I know Ben Jeff Agrist wrote about it in the Sun Times. Ben Pope also in the Sun Times wrote about it. Scott Powers wrote about it. Jamie Faulkner had said that, you know, they listened to what the fans, you know, kind of had to say about the broadcast and how, you know, the chemistry of Troy Murray and John Weidman on the radio broadcast was missed a lot last year because of how often Troy was doing TV. So having the ability to have a regular, you know, full-time TV analyst along with Vossers was definitely something that needed to happen. And, you know, I think a lot of people enjoyed the chemistry that was building between Vossers and Patrick Sharp, because they're not that Troy and Chris didn't have chemistry. It's just different because, you know, Patrick's a little bit closer to being, you know, playing the game and a little bit closer in age of Vossers. And it seemed like they had a good back and forth. And a lot of people thought maybe Patrick Sharp would take on the responsibility full time, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And as Scott Powers wrote in his article today in The Athletic, he was quoting Jamie Faulkner here saying, "Pang will continue to work nationally on TNT and will have to miss some Blackhawks games during the season. There aren't any agreements in place, but Jamie Faulkner said she would love for Patrick Sharp to return to do some TV games again next season." I think that's one of the things that's kind of up in the air is Pang will still do a number of TNT games. So he'll miss some Blackhawks games. And it just kind of, you know, seems like maybe Troy will do a few, maybe Patrick Sharp comes in to do a few, then that opens up some radio opportunities for maybe Keely Chelios. We'll see how that pans out. But I would love for Patrick Sharp to still have a role with the broadcast, because I think he does really well in it, even though it's not his natural talents, natural abilities. I still think he does really well.
We talked about moving on from the dynasty, but you still need those links around the organization. Brian Campbell's in the front office. Mm-hmm. He kind of provides that there. Patrick Sharp, I guess, will probably be the guy media side. I don't know, but I agree. I do like what Sharp brings.
Yeah, I think the one, probably the biggest thing hindering him is that he's not in the area. So making a part-time commitment like he did last year, was probably a lot for him to jump into that role and travel so much to do it. And I'm not sure that that's something that he probably wanted to commit to, which is why, you know, the opportunity to get Darren Pang in that role, makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I'm excited for, to see how the broadcast feels. And I think too, the Blackhawks probably had to say, like, you know, this year we're going to have a lot more eyes coming, you know, coming to broadcast, more fans coming back to watch the team because of who they will pick top overall in this draft. Like we need to have, you know, we can't be doing this piecemeal stuff anymore. It needs to be a set broadcast team. So I think Pang and Vossers are going to be fun together.
Did you say that Darren Pang was a fellow short king?
Yeah.
He's 5'5". He's much shorter than you.
I know, but you know,
I don't know. I think he's got the title. Like
You
have no claims on that royalty.
The shorter you are, the more kingly you are. That's how it goes. I am not on the highest of step stools in the short king world, but
yeah,
I'm still in that world for sure.
You're like Bigfoot compared to him.
Fine.
You know, the famous line about Darren Pang was that he didn't have a five hole. He had a six hole above his head.
I can't believe there was a day and age in hockey where your goalie could have been shorter than the crossbar.
That's crazy.
and now we talk about goalies and especially talking about goalie prospects. You know, if they're 6'1", they're too short to play goalie. You got to be 6'6". It's just like it's so crazy how things evolve and change that way. But you know, Darren Pang, he's very experienced, and you know, living in St. Louis, it's not the brightest of towns. I know Chicago, bright lights, nice sunny day today. It's a good time for Darren Pang to get himself a pair of the best sunglasses around, and those come from our friends at Shady Rays. They help you take on the sun with gear that is built to last. Shady Rays has you covered for the warm weather ahead and happening right now with premium polarized shades at affordable prices. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever owned. I know I've been given some... For a long time, the sunglasses that I kept in my car to make sure I always had a pair of sunglasses handy were gifts from friends that I were in their wedding. So it would say like groomsmen on them and stuff. they were fine, but Shady
Rays.
They
didn't say Short King.
Didn't say Short King. The next wedding I'm in, I'm going to make that I'm going to make that request. But Shady Rays, they blow those sunglasses away with their quality frames, durable, extremely clear optics for all of your outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed up by their by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Last summer, I dumped a pair into the Chain of Lakes. They weren't a pair of Shady Rays. If they were, I would have had them replaced like that. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. And together with their customers, Shady Rays is providing much-needed support to nonprofit partners across the U.S. through Shady Rays Impact. That includes building play sets for pediatric cancer patients and also providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others like it now and for years to come. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, you will. But if you don't like them, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There is no risk when you shop. And exclusively for our beautiful CHGO listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You go to ShadyRays.com right now and use the promo code CHGO. You're going to get 50% off of two pairs of polarized sunglasses. I didn't go to college for math, but I know that is buy one, get one free. Try it for yourself with the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. It's a lot of people and a lot of stars.
Definitely. Hey, everyone, make sure you get fitted out in the best sports gear around. Hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. FOCO has you covered with things like Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need for a game this summer. Look, FOCO has really set us up well here in studio with a lot of the things you see. This Kane and Taves, I think this is from the 2013 season. I actually bought this from FOCO 10 years ago. This thing is 10 years old. I think one time you tried to kill him on set. But
that no. There's that thing was
It was the
Jonathan Taze was having a rough time.
He was,
and so it was manifesting into the into the bobblehead as well. But we fixed him.
Yeah,
as good as new.
And we've got plenty of other great stuff from FOCO on our set. So if you love, if you see something on our shelves and you love it, go check out FOCO. It's probably there. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. You can use the promo code CHGO and you will get 10% off.
Nice. And pretty much any site you go to, try and use the promo code CHGO. You might get yourself a deal. Hey, we got a few minutes left here. I know we got the CHGO weekly sports show coming up here at 3 o'clock.
We're announcing a new podcast.
That is very exciting. Yeah. I am excited to hear about that. I know you're going to be involved in that extensively, both physically and the workload.
Hint.
So that'll be fun to see. Did want to touch on this because it happened yesterday after the show. Yet to be confirmed by the Blackhawks, but we do expect that confirmation to come sometime today. A 2-year deal for Andreas Athanasiou, coming with a $4.25 million cap hit for this season and next season. Mm-hmm. That's, again, still to be confirmed. You see on the one thing I wanted to note about this contract, you see it on the screen here, this information coming from Puckpedia. The first year, his AAV is, his cap hit is $4.25 million. The second year, if you look at between the signing bonus and the base salary, his actual dollars he's going to be owed in 2024-2025, the second year of that deal, is just $2.25 million because he's getting a signing bonus at the start of the 24-25 season. that's important to note, because that actual dollars is kind of what it comes down to for a lot of NHL teams come trade deadline day. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and say we're already trading Andreas Athanasiou at the 2025 trade deadline, but if that were to be the case, it would be potentially a lot easier to move him at that price rather than it was this past trade deadline where he was at the $3 million cap hit flat. So that is one thing that I found interesting about the deal. But the deal as a whole, I think, it's a great deal for Athanasiou because he wanted to have some more term in his future. I don't think the market was going to give him too much term because of the style of player he is, because of the season he had. He did lead the Blackhawks in points, but that wasn't you know, that wasn't the biggest feather in anyone's cap this last season. 20 goal scorer, 40 points last year, was put into the center position for the first time in his life, basically late last season, and excelled. Like he played really well outside of his first game in the position. He played really well there, so good for him. The 4.25 million cap hit is a 1.25 million pay increase from last season, but as we all have talked about for this entire offseason, the Blackhawks need to get to the salary cap floor.
Yep.
That is why this is an overpayment for a player like Andreas Athanasiou.
Like you said, it gives him a little bit of security. He has been playing on one-year deals, four teams in 3 years?
I think it was at least three. It might have been four.
So now he's set up in Chicago for 2 years, maybe a year and a half. I like to think that maybe it's a little bit of a bonus or an award for scoring that goal against the Flyers and sending that game to overtime.
Yeah.
At which point, Lawrence, I was at the game with him, that Taves finale, and he was so pissed at him. He thought, oh, man. And I know people in the comments that night were pissed.
Oh, yeah.
You just cost us a shot at Connor Bedard. But if he doesn't score that goal.
Yeah, that's true. And also, he was credited with the game-winning goal against Pittsburgh.
That's right, yeah.
Which helped get the Florida Panthers into the playoffs and getting them on their run to the Stanley Cup final. So he played a pivotal role in the NHL season last year.
I do like that we're in a spot where we don't have to worry about the salary cap. That's nice, right?
Right, yeah. And I think...
And, you know, 5 years from now, we'll look at this and think, oh, that was awesome. I am looking forward to a spot where we don't have to think. We just signed a player. What can he be moved for at the deadline? We're not there yet, but
we'll
get there soon.
I think, you know, we'll me and Jay will get into a little bit more tomorrow with Kyle Davidson's comments from the draft combine about the outlook for the offseason. He gave a couple more details to that. But I do feel like, you know, this offseason, a lot of people have said, oh, you got all this money to spend. You don't need to spend all of it. You need to spend a minimum, but you don't need to. There's no reason for this team to go crazy and start to put themselves in a cap crunch before they're even ready to have any.
The Bears are in the same exact situation. They've got to spend some money.
Yeah,
and they, you know, they'll probably spend money on a pass rusher, and it may look like an insane deal, but for a 1 year deal, who cares?
Right.
You're not shackling yourself. So
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what moves follow the Athanasiou move. Again, that is yet to be confirmed by the Blackhawks at this time, which is just about 3 o'clock Central Chicago time. But yeah, that'll do it for today's edition of the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Kevin, thank you for stepping in.
Thank you for having me. I do wish Jay well. I do like the fact that he's keeping it on brand and had oral surgery as a hockey podcaster. That makes sense. Yeah. So
he had his wisdom teeth taken out and another tooth was cracked or something like that. I just chalk it up to taking a puck to the face.
By the way, shout out to Bex, who is listening to us sitting on the Riverwalk. I wish we had been podcasting from the Riverwalk today.
It's a good day for them.
She says 12 out of 10 would recommend. If you're in Chicago, do yourself a favor and get outside, but do it after the Chicago Sports Podcast, which comes up as soon as we put two more cheers.
Yeah, and I would also preface to say, Bex, be careful, because I heard on the Riverwalk that peregrine falcon is nesting under one of those bridges, and you better watch it, because I guess it's been going after the mama bird's been going after some people. So keep your head on a swivel, Bex.
Nature is healing in Chicago.
Thank you, Braggs.
There's also, is there foxes in Millennium Park or something like that?
And a bear in Gurnee.
Yeah, there's a bear.
It's like up, Jumanji going on.
There was a bear up
here
in my neck of the woods by Gurnee yesterday. That was wild. Yeah, but again, that'll do it for us here today on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Again, brought to you by DraftKings. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO. We are getting kicked out of here. The chairs are ready to be put on set. Until tomorrow, I am Mario. That has been Kevin. We will see you next time on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.